Chip on the flow, man.
Some neighbors are saying way too loud.
That's only in the morning. You supposed to be up cooking breakfast to somebody. That's like an alarm clock.
Welcome in, everybody, to a brand new episode of the world famous Loose Lug Nuts podcast. I'm Evan Roberts, joined alongside Thomas Dick. And we were out in Phoenix. Now we're heading to the Coliseum.
Yeah, no,
Bristol.
No,
and there's no dirt.
No dirt. No one will have dirt in their butt cracks when they get home.
I mean, they still could. Some of the fans might.
Yeah.
But
Clint Boyer probably will.
But yeah, we'll recap the two races out at Phoenix. We had Xfinity and the Cup Series there this week. We have Bristol. But we'll go over some news first. Goodyear did a tire test at North Wilkesboro, where they have the all-star race. William Byron, Ty Gibbs, and Joey Logano represented Chevy, Toyota, and Ford. This was on Wednesday. Goodyear tried a variety of compounds and constructions. They're testing Cup 2 days, and they tested the truck tires on Tuesday. Ben Rhodes, Christian Eckes, and Corey Heim participated in those tests.
So this isn't a points race, so it's not a big deal. But because it was their first time using the short track package in Phoenix, they had a bunch of people drive out there this winter and do testing. And every one of them ran really awesome. I feel like that's an unfair advantage.
Why?
Because not everyone got to do it.
Oh. Yeah, but they'll get over it. You know?
Yeah,
I'm just glad to see the cars back at North Wilkesboro.
Oh, yeah. Well, I like to call it North Wilkesboro.
Yeah, the whole time we've done the podcast.
Yeah.
So, also, in some news for some TV coverage, it's an Olympic year, so Rick Allen's going to leave the booth for a little bit. Lee Diffie is going to take over before Allen and then handle the rest of the Cup Series. Allen will call Xfinity when he gets back.
I found that weird. Why wouldn't he call Cup when he gets back?
I don't know.
It's almost, and then they're like, it was all ambiguous. And it's like, we don't know what's going to go on 2025. Like, they're planning on stealing Rick Allen's stuff and getting it to Lee Diffie.
Yeah.
Which I can care less one way or the other.
No, you couldn't care less, because if you care less, that means you care a little bit.
No, that's what I wanted to say. I cared a little bit less than I could have.
Oh, all right. And, yeah, a little short week on news.
Not a lot of news this year, period. I don't know if, maybe I'm not reading enough. I'm sleepy, so.
Yeah.
I think someone sent me a Mickey.
Well,
so we got the cup race from Phoenix. Denny Hamlin, I didn't note it in the thingy. He won the pole award, which was huge here because he gets that pit box. And all he has to do is fart, and he's in the lead coming out of the pits, which they explained it numerous times that it's like a super unfair advantage. Like, it's a more unfair advantage than at any other track. So I would think they would do something to fix that.
Huh. Yeah, maybe. You'd think. But anyway, it was a sellout.
Yeah, you know, that's good.
Speaking
of sellouts.
Who?
Nothing.
Ty Gibbs, stage one, he's out in front of Eric Jones, lap 7. We get Kraus gets around, he collects Dylan and Cindric. Third time this year, Dylan's been in an accident within the first 10 laps.
Yeah, not a good year. But he keeps racing. He spends the entire race, spoiler alert, he spends the entire race 5 laps back, and like almost no one crashes. So he did all that work, and he might have picked up a point or two. But good for him. You know, he got some laps. Got Morgan and Morgan billboard lawyers got some runs. So
yeah, Austin Cindric was done for the day. Dylan just has bad damage. He's three laps back, as you mentioned. Lap 13 restarts. Gibbs and Jones again. Halfway through the first stage, it's all Toyotas out front. Ty Gibbs, Eric Jones, Denny Hamlin, Tyler Reddick. But then to be here, Ty Gibbs is reporting hot brakes. With 10 to go in the stage, Reddick gets up to Gibbs, and he's wanting to pass for the lead. He finally gets by with 3 to go, and he wins his first stage of the season, followed by Gibbs, Hamlin, Jones, and Elliott in the top 5. William Byron, Ryan Blaney, Michael McDowell, Chase Briscoe, and Martin Truex round out the top 10. Of note, this was the first Toyota stage win of the year.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot of Toyota notes. Chevy had been dominating stuff early on. Ford had gotten a couple wins or whatnot. Or no, they didn't. I was just made that up. I was thinking Blaney won, but he didn't win anything. But
oh, anyhow, spoiler alert.
Yeah. No, I mean, like on the year.
Oh.
It's been all Chevy, but Chevy wasn't around too much this race. It was all Toyotas. Yeah, Hamlin, I said it, he uses his pit box selection. He picks up two spots even though he had a pedestrian pit stop. So he takes the lead. Poor Eric Jones, spelled like the Viking with a K. He falls back from fifth. And I, you never heard of Eric the Red?
No.
He's the most famous Viking ever besides Leif Erikson, who's his son. Because, get it, Eric.
Yeah.
Son. But anyhow, Kyle Larson and Carson Hocevar have to pit twice, so they'll restart in the back. That's never good. Gibbs gets out in front of Reddick on the restart. Lap 94. We got some Hendrick Chevys starting to get in the mix with the Toyotas. We got Chase Elliott and William Byron in the top 4.
Yep. And then 22 laps later, 70 go in the stage. Blaney starts the green flag pit cycle. That's a slow stop for Ty Gibbs. He drops him back to 15th. Lap 120, Hamlin almost hits Daniel Suarez in the pits. Lap 134, Todd Gilliland still hasn't pitted. Yeah, he's rolling dice that a yellow flag comes out, but Hamlin and Reddick are ready to pass him. 11 laps later, Bell is the fastest car, and he's up to third place. Just a shade over 5 seconds behind. Lap 160, Reddick is 0.7 seconds ahead of Hamlin and 2.1 ahead of Christopher Bell. And then with
Bell is flying at this point.
Yeah, Bell with 11 to go, he's ready to pass Reddick, and they're both looking to lap a struggling Joey Logano. And then with 5 to go, Bell finally gets ahead of Reddick. He goes on to win the stage, followed by Reddick, Hamlin, Byron, and Truex in the top 5. Blaney Elliott, Noah Gregson, Brad Keselowski, and Chris Buescher round out the top 10.
And then Bell, Logano doesn't even get the lucky dog. Ryan Preece ends up getting it because Joey's not having a very good season so far.
Yeah, he's done well in qualifying. He just hasn't translated over.
It's the, you know, the gloves don't lie.
The final stage, or at the pit break, Denny Hamlin uses the pit box advantage again to take the lead. Christopher Bell gets hit with a long pit stop. He drops all the way back to 10th from the lead. We restart on lap 195, and we have 6 wide at some places. Denny Hamlin's out front of Reddick. And then lap later, Kyle Busch brings out the yellow.
Another guy not having the strongest of seasons thus far. Lap 203 restart. Blaney starting 4th after he moved up 12 spots in that last run that didn't go very many laps, so he really took advantage of that restart. Reddick, though, he gets out in front of Hamlin and Blaney. He's looking good. But then Chastain hits hard in the wall, and he slips out of the top 10. No yellow flag there.
Yeah. Slips out of top 10. Logano goes around, brings out the yellow on lap 205 with LaJoy, Kraus, and Barry mixed up in it. Turns out John Hunter Nemechek punted him.
Yeah, and he says on the radio that Logano really slowed up. And then they're going to mention this like 40 laps later. I don't get if NASCAR decided to stop doing interviews after they get out of the care center, because there's not as many as there used to be. And when they finally show what Joey Logano says, it's like 70 laps later, and it's a Bob Pockrass video that they got a hold of and they show. Because basically, Nemechek's like, oh my, he slowed down a lot sooner than I thought he would. And Logano's like, you have to slow down going into the corner at Phoenix. And maybe John Hunter should learn that. So, yeah, it was not a good day for Logano. And then it's another one of those where two really good cars. LaJoy was running well. Barry, meh. But they're knocked out of the race. And John Hunter Nemechek's still running. because he didn't get damaged.
And then everyone from 16 back pitted and might make it to the end of the race if they save fuel. We restart at lap 213. We have three Toyotas out front in Reddick, Truex, and Hamlin. And then 215, we see Denny Hamlin bring out the yellow.
Yeah, we do. He was just a one-car spin around, just all by his lonesome. Lap 221, we're going to restart with 92 to go. We got Truex and Priest out front. They didn't pit, so they're going to try a bold, bold strategy. 91 to go. Eric Jones hard in the wall, but no yellow. He drops all the way from 8th to 24th. And then Ty Gibbs, who took two tires, is up to 3rd. 67 to go. We get Truex out front by 3.5 seconds. But now his pit boss, crew chief, is telling him he's going to have to pit at some point. Not for gas, though. They're worried about tire wear. So they're going to pit for tires. And Priest is running 2nd. He thinks he's 5 laps short on fuel.
And then with 58 to go, here comes Christopher Bell. He's up 17 positions since the 91 to go restart. He's up to 3rd. 41 to go, Truex finally pits. So Christopher Bell's now the leader. He's 2.25 seconds ahead of Gibbs. And then with 24 to go, you were thinking.
Well, this is the one we already talked about. This is when they finally got around to the little video clip that Bob Pockrass put up of Logano saying, yeah, why don't you learn how to turn? So we're going to get 20 to go. Bell is cruising at this point. 4.8 second lead over Gibbs. But we get some comers. They got comers and goings at this track. We get some comers at the end. RFK benefits with Chris Buescher. He passes Gibbs for 2nd. And Brad Keselowski passes Chastain for 4th, all in the last dozen laps. A really good outcome for RFK. They took advantage of that pit stop where everyone 16 and back didn't pit, so.
Good job by them. Christopher Bell ends up winning the race, his first of the year, 7th of his career. Buescher, Gibbs, Keselowski, and Blaney round out the top 5. So you have 2 RFK and 2 JGR in the top 4. Chastain, Truex, McDowell, Briscoe, and Reddick round out the top 10. We had talked earlier about how dominant Toyotas were. They led 298 laps, and they became the first ever manufacturer to have 5 drivers leave at least 50 laps. After this is what, race 4 now? The playoff picture, you got Larson, Byron, Suarez, and Bell. They're the 4 in on wins. The other 12 on points would be Ryan Blaney, Martin Truex, Tyler Reddick, Ty Gibbs, Ross Chastain, Denny Hamlin, Chase Elliott, Kyle Busch, Alex Bowman, Bubba Wallace, Austin Cindric, and Chris Buescher. Michael McDowell and Eric Jones are 2 points back. Briscoe, 3 points back. Keselowski with his nice finish. He's up to 22nd, 11 points back. Noah Gregson, who had the big penalty earlier in the season, moved up 8 spots. He's 26 points back. Joey Logano all the way back in 30th, 35 back, but again, early on in the season.
And then we're going to start looking at the Rookie of the Year standings, Carson Hocevar. He's building an early lead. He's 22 points ahead of Josh Berry, who had some rough luck, and he's also 30 points ahead of his teammate, Zane Smith.
There you go. So that was that.
So now we got Xfinity race. We're going to have stage 1. They're talking to Frankie Muniz, and he does not give me any confidence in his pre-game, pre-race in-car interview. Like, the way he's talking, he needs to drop down a couple series. He's like, it's like golf. You got to be if you want to be the best, you got to play the best, and I'm just soaking up everything. And it's like, racing is not the same as golf. Like, yes, I could get better playing golf with Rory McIlroy, but I cannot get better racing against Kyle Larson because he would just crush me. Like, I would think Rory would give me some tips.
Yeah, you'd think. But to get off, we have Haley Deegan, Sam Mayer, SVG, Sheldon Creed, and William Byron. They go to the back. Second straight week for the Deegs and SVG having to go to the back. But you lied.
I lied, yeah. The graphics package. Fox got charbroiled. They didn't update the graphics from the last race. So the official NASCAR documents say it was Sheldon Creed, Patrick Emerlin, BJ McLeod, Leland Honeyman, Ryan Vargas, Garrett Smithley go to the rear. So I was all excited. I was like, holy crap. No wonder Deegs is never going to do anything. She's always having to go to the back. But Fox, come on, update your package.
Yeah, come on, Fox. Chandler Smith, though, is out in front of Cole Custer on lap six. Josh Williams gets turned around to bring out the yellow. Jeremy Clements got into him and also collected Emerly and Cram. Allgaier not happy with Jesse Love's youthful aggressiveness.
Yeah, well, you get those restarts and whatnot, and it goes like nine wide. And, yeah, Jesse was very aggressive, and luckily he was had some veterans around him that did not punt him, because it could have been a day over early for the Love Doctor.
And then lap 12 restart, Chandler Smith way out in front, 20 to go in the stage. Byron all the way up to 12th after starting 28th. Chandler Smith
won his first stage of the year.
Followed by Custer, Allgaier, Almirola, and Riley Herbst in the top five. Jones, Meyer, Heim, Nemechek, and Love round out the top 10. The stage break, Chandler Smith loses three spots in the pits. The tire change are a little slow.
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of penalties and slow pit stops this year.
We've seen Cole Custer take advantage of it. Bad start by Allgaier allows Chandler back in second. Austin Hill struggling on the outskirts of the top 10. Not ideal for someone looking to be in the championship four. With 20 to go on the stage, Allgaier and Almirola pass Chandler Smith for second and third. First time Smith really isn't looking that strong. And then 16 to go, Corey Heim, who is in the top 10, looking solid. He has something break, slips out of the top 20, and has to pit under green. Not good.
And then six to go, a huge save by SVG. He gets all the accolades by the people up in the booth. Jamie Little says how much she loves the white gloves because she can see you working the wheel. And then that could have ruined the day for Sammy Smith and Anthony Alfredo. It does not. Custer wins the stage. He's followed by Allgaier, Almirola. I just made up a name. Almirola.
Almirola is a city in Texas.
Yeah, I was thinking about painting the Cadillacs and getting the 72 on stake. Chandler Smith, Riley Herbst in the top five, followed by Nemechek, Mayer, Love, Jones, and Austin Hill.
At the stage break, Almirola loses four spots. That's going to be his new name. We restart with 100 to go, four wide for a bit. Custer's out front. They give old Frankie a pass-through penalty for a restart violation three laps back in 35th. But, yeah, I feel like they
go let that one slide. Come on.
Come on.
He was in 35th place. Who is he jumping on the restart?
92 to go. Chandler's hounding Custer and passes him for the lead. Allgaier, Herbst, and Almirola get by Custer the next few laps. 88 to go, Dinger's reporting problems. Colleagues in 13th with SVG, 24th with Dinger, and 33rd for Williams. Not ideal for our friends over at Colleague Racing. 75 to go, Custer has drifted back to 7th. Love is looking to pass for 8th. Everything Hill and Sam Lee Smith try isn't working. They're mixed back in 13th and 14th.
Yeah, we get a caution, 62 laps to go. Deegs into the wall. Everybody goes into the pit. It's odd. I would have thought someone would have stayed out and risk it. Because you know what Larry...
You know what our old crew chief friend says.
Yeah, Larry Mack says...
if you follow the leader, you're going to stay following the leader.
Yeah, you follow the leader, you're going to follow the leader straight to hell. Yeah, huge stop, though, for Nemechek. He moves up four spots in the first. Chandler Smith loses the lead in the pits for the second time. He must think his pit crew hates him. 57 laps to go. Allgaier out front. And then there's a big wreck behind. Teammates get into each other. Chandler Smith in the Nemechek. Huge damage on poor Sam Mayer. His speaking of following the leader to hell, his season from hell continues. Nemechek, Jeb Burton, Riley Herbst, Parker Retzloff, Haley Deegan, William Byron. 13 cars in total are in this one. And there's a beach worth of speedy drying the track, so we end up getting a red flag. Yeah, I don't know about this accident. It's a two guys who are teammates making a move with 57 laps to go that should be reserved for 7 laps to go. Mm. Like, you made the move 50 laps too early and you wiped everybody out. Very sad.
Not all the time. You get the big one at Phoenix.
Yep.
49 to go is when we restart. Justin Allgaier's out front of Chandler Smith. Pretty easy. New cars in the top five is Sheldon Creed and Love. 43 to go. Chandler Smith's hounding Allgaier for the lead. But then with 20 to go, Allgaier's got a 2.6-second lead ahead of Chandler Smith. 10 to go, Allgaier still with the sizable lead at 2.5 seconds. But a great race between Creed and his old car Love for third. Allgaier's crushing, but oh no.
This is so sad as I watched this happen. And I actually thought it might happen in the race the next day. Like, he is way out in front. The only thing that could stop him, because he was winning restarts too. The only thing that could stop him from winning this race is his car blowing up, and it does. And it's the Jamie Little curse, because she says he's cruising. He's got a 3-second lead, and instantly his right rear goes down. He's hard in the wall. And we're going to have a green, white checker flag for the race.
And this is where it gets interesting, because we're going to have to restart on some really old tires because no one has new ones left. We see some people put scuffs on. But when we do get back to racing, it's Chandler Smith out front. He takes the white flag. Love and Creed battle for second, allowing Smith to get away. Great strategy by Chandler Smith. He wrecks half the field. To wreck the half the field gives the old hate that I got it that way, which you... You got to give him that one.
That's my favorite post-race speech. I hate that I did this thing to win, but give me my trophy and my big check.
Sad for Justin Allgaier. He ends up finishing 29th. Chandler Smith, Jesse Love passes Sheldon Creed for second at the end. Saves Creed for being the bridesmaid a ninth time. Austin Hill and Cole Custer in the top five. SVG finishes sixth. Followed by Jones, Klingerman, Sammy Smith, and Anthony Alfredo. Other notables, career best 11th and second straight top 20 for Leland Honeyman Jr. Career best 17th for Nick Lights.
Yeah, and the playoff picture, Chandler Smith is now in with a win, and he also leads the points. Austin Hill's the only other driver in on wins. He's got two of them, and he leads with 11 playoff points. Other 10... Cole Custer, Riley Herbst, Jesse Love, Sheldon Creed, AJ Allmendinger, Justin Allgaier, Brandon Jones, Sammy Smith, Parker Kligerman, and Anthony Alfredo. As we mentioned, the bad luck continues for Sam Mayer. He is 51 points behind the playoff line in 24th. The team's good enough to get him a win, but he can't have too many more DNFs if they don't win. More immediate guys on the outside. Ryan Sieg's 2 points back. SVG is 7 points back with Coda coming. You know, he's looking forward to Coda. The Xfinity is actually off this week. They're not going to Bristol. So SVG is primed and ready to go. Josh Williams is in 30th. He's struggling like Landon Castle did back when a colleague caught him midstream. So we'll see if the sponsorship dollars keep coming in. And then the Deegs is in 31st place.
This week, as we mentioned, we're heading to Bristol. We got the Food City 500 at Bristol Motor Speedway. The race is at Sunday, 3:30 p.m. Eastern, with coverage starting at 3 on Fox, Performance Racing Network, and SiriusXM NASCAR Radio. 500 wraps around the slightly longer than a half mile at 5.3333, repeating, of course, for a 266.5-mile race, stages of 125, 125, and 250. It is St. Patty's Day.
Yeah, Mikey Waltrip's Brewery is going to have a Leprechaun brew. I think it might be beer that I think it's green. I was saddened by the lack of green paint schemes.
Yeah.
We don't even have a Hunt Bros or a Castrol.
That'd have been good too. Well, or anybody else that does green. Like, if the Boston Red Sox can wear green on St. Patty's Day, then you can make a paint scheme for NASCAR green.
Yeah. And it doesn't happen every year. This is like the fourth time that Bristol's had a St. Patrick's Day race. Like, do it for the kids. Or just, your paint scheme doesn't have to be green. Slap a green number on there.
Yeah.
Or have green wheels. Or green illegal gloves. You know.
Looking at some stats.
Green nets on the thing. They do the pink, window nets for the, the cancer awarenesses.
Yeah. Kyle Busch going for his ninth win at Bristol. He also has a win at the dirt track, but that doesn't count because it's quote-unquote a different track. So everything we're quoting is non-dirt. Denny Hamlin won the most recent race. He's looking to become the 13th driver to win consecutive races here. Darrell Waltrip wants to win 8 consecutive races here, which was pretty wild. In addition to Kyle Busch's 8 wins, you have Brad Keselowski and Denny Hamlin with 3 wins, Joey Logano with 2, and Chris Buescher and Kyle Larson with 1 apiece.
Yeah, and then the only hometown, sort of hometown, Josh Berry. I found it weird. He's the only active Cup driver from Tennessee. You would have thought bootlegger, moonshine and bootleggers would be from Tennessee. A first-time winner has not won at this track since 2002. So sorry, Wood Brothers. You can put the ice cream cake on ice. 4 drivers have completed all 100% of the laps this year in the 4 races. So that's pretty impressive. Those 4 drivers, one of them has a win. I was going to say none of them have a win, but one of them has a win. William Byron has a win, but then Chase Elliott, Ty Gibbs, and Martin Truex Jr., not his dad. And
then the last 6 races, Larson has the best average finish with 3.5 with a win, 3 top fives, and 4 top fours. Denny Hamlin.
But he's only run 4 races there because of racism.
Yeah. Denny Hamlin with an average finish of 9.7 with 2 wins, 2 top fives, and 4 top tens. Brad Keselowski, 1 win, 2 top fives, and 4 top tens. Average finish of 10.8.
Who's your long shot?
I'm going to go really long shot. Can you guess?
J.J. Yaley? That is a bold call.
I'm going to go Carson Hocevar.
Whoa, look at that.
He's pretty successful in the truck series. He's raced here once. I think it was the dirt track, finished 11th, but still. That's a long shot.
That doesn't count. You can't mention that. I'm going Michael McDowell. He had his best race here last fall, finished 6th. And they've been running good this year. And, so Michael McDowell.
Mm-hmm. Who you got winning?
I was going to go Kyle Larson, but then I was like, no, I'll let you do Kyle Larson. So that means you're probably not going to do Kyle Larson.
Nope.
Son of a... I'm doing Chris Buescher. Last 2 races here, the 2 fall ones not on dirt. He has a win and a 4th place finish.
All right. And RFK Boy's been racing really well. Yeah. I'm going to go Kyle Busch. Turns it around. You were talking smack about him. He's raced really well here. And then I really liked him because of his, I don't know if you saw, he kind of set Twitter ablaze, got people going. I think it was NASCAR and Fox tweeted like last lap who ends up winning, Dale Earnhardt or Kyle Busch.
Yeah.
And he quote tweeted and said, neither one of us are finishing. So I thought that was pretty funny. So I think I'm going to go with the number 8 car this weekend.
Yeah. Okay.
Trucks on Saturday at 8 p.m.
So we'll say Luke or Ty picked Kyle Larson since he'll end up.
Good job, guys. Thanks for contributing to the podcast. We got the WeatherGuard truck race. You get 8 p.m. on Saturday with coverage starting at 7. Fox Sports 1, the Motor Racing Network, and SiriusXM NASCAR Radio. 250 laps, so stages of 65, 65, and 120. We got 2 Bushwhackers, Kyle Busch and Zane Smith. This is the first truck series spring race on concrete at Bristol since 1999. Matt Crafton has won 21 races here with 14 top 10s. Kyle Busch leads with 7 top 5s and 5 wins. The last truck race here on concrete, Corey Heim made a late pass of Christian Eckes to get that. And you'd be an idiot not to pick Kyle Busch to win.
So I pick Kyle Busch.
Yeah, that's what I'm going with. Kyle Busch sweep this weekend.
There you go.
For your boy.
So what you're saying is Monday I'll be eating cheddars.
Yeah.
That's only for the cup race, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So we didn't have many green paint scheme, but we had some good paint schemes nonetheless. 2 of them featured fishes.
Yeah, number 1.
Which they looked awesome. Number 1 and number 99. I guess that guy, what's his name? Pitbull.
Yeah.
Must be a big Fisher guy. Because we got the Busch Light fishing Chevy. And then we got the Jockey Outdoors. I guess that's underwear that you just wear when you're walking around fishing.
Just the underwear. Trying to catch the fish.
Yeah. And Luke Bryan's name was in it. It was like presented by Luke Bryan and Bassmaster. So I don't know what the... Is Luke Bryan like entered in the Bassmasters competition just wearing jockey underwear? But the cars, those 2 cars look sweet.
Yeah, I do like those.
And then I'm always going to go with King Hawaiian because it's sweet bread. You put a little pork on there, you make a little pork slider. And then Dinger and the Mountain Dew Cheetos.
Sweet.
And then Ricky Stenhouse, Ballpark Buns. Trucks was terrible. Your guy is going to be there, so you can mention your guy.
Jace Purdy and the Bama Buggies.
Yeah, everything else was pretty weak. So I didn't even see what my main man, Spencer Boyd, had. But last week, so good on the paint schemes. This week, it tailed off a little bit, except for the two fishes. Everyone should have did leprechaun fishes with, like, a little orange, like, Irish beard.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, kiss the ball, Blarney stole
him. Yeah. Well, that will do it. We got two big races this weekend. We'll be back next week where we get ready. Was it Coda after that?
Coda.
Yeah, you're heading to your home track.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll make it out there. It's always, like, I don't know. Like, if I had to make the choice right now, I have such a splitting headache, I'd probably just go to bed.
Well, I feel like that race is kind of hard to go to just because I feel like you don't really see them for that long. But yeah, what do I?
You don't. And it's mostly hipsters and smelly hippies in Austin going out there just to say they went out there. So, but
all right, well, that will do it.
SVG is going to be fired up. Colleague, Dinger, they can get some wins.
Yeah. They don't finish 1-2, it'll be a sad day. But we'll be back next week, preview the Coda, recap Bristol. Enjoy the St. Paddy's Day. We'll see you all next time.
I grew up in Texas where football was my game, until that racing fever started burning in my brain. I started running mini stocks when I was 13, and won a short track championship when I was just 16. I met a man named Harry Hyde, and he built a car for me, sponsored by Granddaddy Hillen's Drilling Company. We ran in 5 Grand Nationals when I was 17. My Talladega finish was the start of my big dream. Thank you for the ride, Harry Hyde, and I'm glad I had Granddaddy on my side. You've given me my win. Now it's up to me to fly. Thank you for the ride, Harry Hyde. Now some may say that Lady Luck has given me the breaks. I must admit she smiled a bit, but it's me that runs the race. Now you can't be a champion due to luck or circumstance. I'll do the best I can for those who've given me the chance. Thank you for the ride, Harry Hyde. And now I've got stuff of us.